Monday, 23rd week, Ordinary Time 1. The reading, the first reading from the letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 24 to chapter 2, verse 3. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I complete what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the divine office which was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now made manifest to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man matured in Christ. For this I toil, striving with all the energy which he mightily inspired within me. For I want you to know how greatly I strive for you, and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged as they are knit together in love, to have all the riches of assured understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 6, verses 6 to 11. On another Sabbath, when he entered the synagogue and taught, a man was there whose right hand was withered. And the scribe and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew his thoughts, and he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come and stand here." And he rose and stood there. And Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to destroy it?" And he looked around on them all and said to him, "Stretch out your hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Sharing of the reading, first the theme. The believer's duty is to build up Christ's mystical body, the church. In God's plan of salvation, Christ is the one who brings God's plan to fulfillment through his incarnation, revelation, teaching, training his apostles, and going through his passion and death to redeem people's sins. The salvation now belongs to all people, not excluding anyone. For this salvation be effective in everyone, people need to believe in Christ. For people to believe in Christ, the church needs many preachers, beginning with a small group, which is Jesus' disciples. The church gradually grows and extends to all corners of the earth, as we see today. It needs to expand more and more until all people believe in Christ. To accomplish this, all members of the church have a duty to build her up by sacrificing and contributing to the preaching of the gospel. Today's reading help the faithful to recognize and to contribute to the building of Christ's mystical body, the church. In the first reading, St. Paul joyfully endured suffering for the building of Christ's body through his preaching of the gospel. He chided the best for the gospel to permit, to develop, and to bear fruit in the faithful life. In the gospel, while Jesus was on his way to preach the good news and to heal all kinds of diseases for people, the scribes and the Pharisees, in the name of the law, prevented him to heal on the Sabbath and divided all tricks to destroy him. Jesus got angry and rebuked them as hypocrites, because instead of encouraging people to believe in him to inherit salvation, they prevented people to come to him because they feared of losing their prophets. Second analysis. First reading. I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and in my flesh I complete what is lacking in dry affliction for the sake of his body, that is, the church. Third point. Paul recognized his duty. Before he could witness for Christ, Paul needed to ascertain his faith. First, Paul recognized his past sins and God's love. The event that happened on the way to Damascus helped Paul to recognize that salvation is not only for the Israelites, but also open for all the Gentiles in God's plan of salvation. St. Paul talked about this plan as follows. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now make manifest to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Second, take love to return love. After we are healed from both spiritual and physical planet, Paul recognized God's immense love for him when he is still a sinner. Paul thinks if God loved him that much, he must also respond to that love by bringing Christ's salvation to all people. Paul knew he was not able to do anything for God, so he paid attention to building the members of Christ's mystical body, the church. He described his mission to the Colossians. I became a minister according to the divine office, which was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. Third, what are the sufferings which are still lacking in Christ's affliction? Although Christ is already victorious over death by his glorious resurrection and brings salvation for all people, but God's plan of salvation is not complete until all are saved by believing in Christ. To complete this plan, Christ relies on the contribution of all faithful. The suffering which Christ is still suffering are the faithful indifference in the preaching of the gospel, the worldly opposition and plans which aim to destroy the Catholic religion, the frivolous life of the faithful and the preachers prevents them to witness for the gospel, and the division between Christian churches divides right body. Second point, Paul finds all possible ways to fulfill his mission. He said, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I complete what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church." His life of preaching drove his effort. Here are some of his efforts. He preached the gospel everywhere and at any time in the synagogues, marketplaces, prisons, courts. He did it whether it is convenient or not. Second, he helped the faithful to be more and more perfected in Christ. He not only pleaded with the establishment of the communities, but he also came back to visit them when he had a chance. If not, he wrote letters to teach and to console them. Third, he used God's love and strength to overcome all individual selfish contentions and to reserve the church's unity. Second, the gospel. Jesus condemned some scribes and Pharisees. The third point, they look for a cause to persecute Jesus. Usually, those who were sick or those who had their sick relatives followed Jesus and asked to be healed. But something is unusual in today's passage. That is, a man with a withered hand was already there. He is viewed as a trap for Jesus to fall in, so that the scribe and the Pharisees might have a reason to condemn Jesus, as the gospel reported. On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and taught, and there were a man there whose right hand was withered. The scribe and the Pharisees watched him closely to see if he would cure in on the Sabbath, so that they might discover a reason to accuse him. But they underestimated Jesus' wisdom and power, because not only he had power to heal, but also wisdom to know their calculating intention to condemn him, to teach them a lesson. Jesus said to the man with the withered hand, "Come up and stand before us." And he rose and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil, to save life rather than to destroy it?" Second point, Jesus courageously confronted them. Those who wanted to persecute him now became the accused. They must know that the spirit of the Sabbath required them to do good, but they were planning to accuse a good man as Jesus. The Sabbath required them to value and to protect life, but they were condemning Jesus' healing. As a thief who is caught when he is stealing, Jesus displayed their wicked intention before people, and they were quiet. Jesus wants them to go back to the principles. The law is promulgated to protect human life. The foundation of the morality is to do good and to avoid evil, to save life, not to destroy it. Therefore, no one can, in the name of the Lord, destroy a human life or reject to do good things on the Sabbath. Jesus could cure the man in a secret or at a other place, but he wanted to teach people a lesson about the need to discard bad examples and hypocrisy. Looking around at them all, he then said to him, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was restored. And St. Luke reported their reaction. But they became enraged and discussed together what they might do to Jesus. They were displayed all their wicked intention. Instead of repenting, they let their pride take control, and they planned together another plan to kill Jesus. Application in life. We all have a duty to bring God's plan to perfection by providing opportunities for all people to listen to the gospel. We should never view the gospel for individual profits or make people to lose their faith because of our life which is opposed to the gospel, or in the name of the gospel to divide right body. Amen.